starting in Matthew chapter number 11. We'll read verses 28 through 30. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Now, you know, I got to stop. The Lord impressed me this afternoon to tell some testimonies of how God has paid off our church building. Would I be able to do that? Can I? That wouldn't make you mad at all, hearing some good testimonies? January of 2020. I think it was November of 17. So 18, basically 18, 19. We're just a little over 2 years from today. The Lord put it on our hearts, Pastor Debbie and I, to pay off our church building. We were talking about this at lunch, how we were just making the payment, you know, the minimum payment, and, you know, easy, paying it easy, everything's going good. And but no application of faith to that. But the Lord put it on our heart to pay that off. And at the time, the balance was about $360,000. And, you know, for some people, that's not much. Maybe California, that's not much. But we were just impressed to begin to put our faith on that and pay that off. And in 2 years' time, a little over roughly, we have paid it off. Right now, the balance is around $3,000 or something like that. And it's almost completely paid off. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And for the last number of years, part of the way it has worked, several different ways, a couple of different things, how things happen. I'll tell you a couple of testimonies about it. Quite a number of years ago. The Lord, I remember Brother Hagin, I don't know if you ever listened to that little audio he has of Faith for Finances by Saying. Yes. It's basically talking about God created the earth. Remember whenever Brother Hagin was talking to God about money, and God said, "Stop talking to me about money and praying about money the way you have been. Yeah. Claim what you need. Tell the devil to take his hands off it. Send the angels all out." You remember that?
Yeah.
And he was talking about that, and he said the Lord showed him from Genesis chapter number 1 that God made the earth for his man, not the devil and his crowd.
Yeah.
And that everything we need is already down here. It's not going to come out of the sky. It's already here. Amen?
Yeah. Amen?
And I was listening to that, and Brother Hagin said, so he started claiming certain things. And he began to say, somebody's going to give our ministry a one-time gift of, I don't remember where he started, something like $10,000, $5,000 or $10,000. And it came in. Then he said, somebody's going to start giving $20,000. And it kept going up. And I heard that and I thought, well, if that worked for Brother Hagin, that worked for us.
Come on. Amen. Amen.
You know, he teaches these things and we go, oh, that's so good. And go forget about it. And don't do it ourselves. Right. I mean, you know, we know how to learn to be doers of the word. Observe to do according to all that's written there. So I said, well, hey, forget, you know, just letting it up to Brother Hagin. I'm going to start acting on this.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I started out, I said, somebody's going to give that. I don't know how many years ago this was. Probably, we've been there for 18 years. This is probably 15 years ago. Somebody's going to give the church $10,000. One-time gift, cash, check of money, order into the general fund, $10,000. Said that, and boom, it came in. Somebody's going to give the church one-time gift, cash, check, or money, owner into the general fund, $20,000. Or no, I think it was $25,000. Boom, it came in.
Amen.
Somebody said, that had been happening before? No, it hadn't been happening before.
Yeah.
Amen. Somebody said, well, that works for you because you're a preacher. I was a preacher for a long time before it started happening. Amen. It'll work for believers. It doesn't work for preachers. It works for believers. Somebody's going to give the church one-time gift, cash, check, and money, order $25,000, and it came in. Somebody's going to give the church one-time gift, cash, check, and money, order into the general fund, $50,000, and it came in. And guess what? On a Wednesday night. Not even on a big church night. Just a Wednesday night. Amen. And I said, praise the Lord. And the congregation, I was telling this publicly. I would tell the whole church, you know, somebody's going to give the church one-time gift the $50,000. And, you know, they started hearing me say that at 10, and they went, really? And then they saw it happen. They go, oh, wow. Then $25,000, really? Maybe. Boom, there it hit. Wow.
Yeah.
Then $50,000, they're going, yeah. And it hit. And I said, somebody's going to give the church a one-time gift, check, cash check of money on $100,000. And they went, yeah. And they all jump in. And it hit. Hallelujah. And that here in the that 100,000 just came in a year and, well, it was January of last year, actually, a year ago. So I put that on the building, you know. And so I said, okay, now somebody's going to give the church one-time gift, cash, check, or money order, $250,000. And so we're standing and believing on that. But what has happened is people are starting to give in these large sums since I started doing that. I mean, people are giving big chunks, $65,000. You know, just things just started happening because we began to say so. Because we began to say so. And not in a back room where the devil can't hear you. You know what I mean by the devil can't, well, he's, just in case this doesn't work, you know. No, but we do it right out in front of God, the devil, and everybody. My mother-in-law, everybody. I mean, we just, we preach it. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we started out at $360,000 just about 2 years and a couple months ago, and we're down to, I think it's roughly $3,000 or something like that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I just wanted to share, because the Lord put that on my heart in the hotel room, just to share a good testimony. Faith doesn't come by hearing testimonies, but it does inspire you. It encourages you to go for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. What's going to happen to you? Well, you start saying it, and it starts coming to pass. Praise the Lord. Faith by saying. So I just thought I'd share that. God's no respecter of persons. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter number 11. Did you find that?
Yes.
Matthew 11, we'll start reading verse 28 down through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll put more on you. Huh? Brother Hagin said years ago there was somebody in his church said, I didn't have it so hard. You know, when I was out in the world, I didn't have it so hard. Well, that's not what this verse says. He's not putting the burden on you harder than the devil. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How many of you can see from this that there is a responsibility that we have, and yet it's light and easy? There are things that God has called us to do in walking out, walking our life with Him and walking out this life of faith. There's things He's called us to do, but it's light and easy. It's not burdensome. It's not heavy. It's not a load, you know. We're not the devil's pack mule. You know what I mean by that? I say sometimes we're not the devil's pack mule. We're the Lord's racehorse. Amen. Lay aside every weight and the sin and run.
Run.
Amen. You got to lay aside some weights to run is what he's saying. And so, you know, if we're going to walk by faith, we're going to have to do it in the light of these verses right here. And whenever you and I are reaching for something in faith, the devil would love for us to take hardness into our thinking or heaviness into our thinking or this is such a burden into our thinking. You know what I mean by that? This verse says that's wrong thinking.
Amen.
What he's called us to do when we walk by faith is not a burden. It's light and easy. There is a responsibility we have in believing God, but it's not a heavy burden. And I'll tell you this, if it's hard to believe God, you ever heard people say, it's just so hard to believe God, just so hard to walk with God, just so hard to serve God. Hopefully the person that you've heard say that's not the person you saw in the mirror this morning. But but I've heard people say that. Anybody heard anybody say that before? Have you ever had that thought? Maybe you didn't put words on it, but the temptation is to think it's just so hard to serve God, just so hard to believe God, just so hard to get money to come in, just so hard, you know, come on. This verse is telling us if it's hard, we're not doing it right. This verse is telling us His yoke is easy and His burden is light. If it's hard, we've got some wrong thinking in there somewhere. Well, I think that I know the Lord wanted me to talk to you about this tonight and examine ourselves to see if we're really in faith. I don't know if you ever read that verse. The Bible says we're to examine ourselves, see if we're really in faith. Real faith is a rest. Hebrews 3 says that. Actually, chapter number 4, it says, they that believe enter into rest. Not into a burden, not into a struggle, not into a heavy load, not into worry, not into fear, not into anxiety. Watching some people practice faith, it seems as if they have the idea that prayer or faith or making confessions of faith is just like a worry session that you anxiously pace the floor making confessions anxiously until you see it happen. And really, if I examine sometimes people's prayer life in my church, it's nothing more than a worry session. Reminding God of all the problems, reminding God of everything that's happening, reminding Him how hard it is. Yeah. Amen. And it's really not faith at all. They think it's faith. Lord, I'm praying. I'm talking to God about it. See, a lot of times they have taken a hardness into the flow of their faith and gotten out of faith, and it's not really faith at all. The Bible says in 1 John, His commandments are not grievous. Amen. That's what our Bible tells us. So anytime the things of God are hard, you know something is off. According to this passage, did we read this verse? Is that in red? Did you see it in your Bible like it's in mine? Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you what?
Rest.
Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I like there's rest in there. There's ease in there. There's lightness in there. This life that God's called us to walk is a light thing. It's not a heavy burden. And the more I learn about faith, the more I realize what I have called faith so many times was not faith. I won't talk about you, I'll talk about me. Amen? And so anytime the things of God are hard, we know something's off because it's not in line with this revelation. Something's off with our thinking. Some area of wrong thinking has got in, and hardness really, it becomes hard because of wrong thinking. How many of you know whenever it comes to believing God for healing, you're not the healer? Healing. Somebody says it's so hard to receive healing from cancer. It's so easy to receive healing from the flu. Listen, you can't heal either one. Neither one of them are hard for God. For you and I, both of them are hard. Right? But we're not the healer. We're not the ones who do the doing. We're just the ones that do the word. We're just the ones that do the believing. We're just the ones that agree with His word and say what His word says. Amen? So really the hardness comes because of a wrong response to the word. It's all a matter of what we're focused on, our attention is on. Our attention sometimes is on the circumstances, and therefore we're calling it hard because I don't know how. You know, it is hard when you look at circumstances and can't figure out how that could ever work out to where God's word, God's promises to you would come to pass. And that is hard. Your mind is doing gymnastics trying to figure out how that ever going to happen. See, that's hard, yes, but that's not faith either. Faith is easy. That is hard. Worrying is hard. That's a struggle. That keeps you from sleeping at night. Amen. But not faith. If we're doing that, we might be calling faith hard, but that's not really faith to begin with. Amen. So it's all a matter of what our focus is on. If our focus is on the desires of our flesh. You know, sometimes people say, you know, I just struggle with obeying God. That's because they're living in the flesh. Their flesh doesn't want to obey God. Their spirit said, like Jesus said, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is in my heart. Praise the Lord. So we're going to learn to get in this easy flow. How's that? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, the worried flow is a hard flow. Because in worry, we're carrying all the burdens and the weights of the thing. But that's not faith. Faith casts the care over on the Lord. Isn't that right? Are you here tonight? You're going to receive something, some revelation about your faith life? Let's do a tune-up tonight. Now, have you ever, because the Bible said in John 15, verse number, I believe it's 16, I've ordained you to go and bring forth fruit. Remember, it's in the context of the vine and the branches. I am the vine, you are the branches, and so forth. If you abide in me, maintain that living union, the Amplified says, with me, you'll bring forth much fruit. And then he said in verse 16, I've ordained you to go and bring forth much fruit. And he tells us what kind of fruit he's talking about, that whatever you ask in my name you receive. Yeah. Amen. He's talking about prayer fruit, getting answers to prayer. And he said there, I've ordained you to go and bring forth much fruit, that your fruit should remain. Whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he'll do it for you. All right. So he's talking about producing fruit is he's actually talking about grapes, grape vines and branches. Yeah. But it's true about, you know, you got almonds here. Yeah. What else? You got avocados. I don't know what all.
Strawberries.
Yeah. Anything. Yeah. I grew up in the East Coast. I grew up in Pennsylvania. And my dad's farm was here. The neighbors had an orchard. They didn't have, we grew a lot of corn and alfalfa and wheat and things like that. But they had an orchard of apple trees. And then my uncle's farm was on the other side of the apple orchard. And we had an access way to get through there. And we would spend time sometimes back in that apple orchard. And apple orchards are just like, you know, almonds or anything you're used to here. They just, that branch produces those almonds or those apples or whatever, peaches, just by staying connected. I have never gone back into the apple orchard. You'll never go into the almond orchards here and see an almond tree out there going, boom, there's the almonds. Will you? Huh? It's not a strain. It's not a struggle. It's not a hard labor. Huh? You getting this tonight? It's a matter of just staying connected. That branch that's producing those almonds or apples or whatever, it's just a matter of it staying connected to the trunk of the tree.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
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 Healing is easy. It's a matter of just keeping a good connection.
Yes.
You don't have to struggle. You don't have to strain. You just keep a good connection.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so, that's what we want to talk to you about tonight, if you can hear it. Now, let's go, let's think about this. There's some people's life, it seems like their whole life is a struggle.
Yeah.
Everything's a struggle. Everything's hard. Always in a battle. Always fighting something. Never resting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're never in joy. They're never enjoying life. God has something better for our lives than always struggling, always straining, always struggling, always sad, always heavy burdened. How you doing? Oh, it's just hard. We got to get hardness out of our mouth. It's just been so hard to get ahead financially, so hard. It's not hard when you know how to do it. Pastor Debbie said that when she was up here. Whenever we learn how to do something, it's not difficult. I believe God's word works if we work it. Amen? And so we meet those people sometimes, and they're always fighting, always struggling. They're always warring. They're always in a struggle. And I've learned in my life that when I get into that, because I've been in that flow in my own life. How many have been in that flow in your life where you hit seasons where it's just a struggle, struggle, struggle? That's because in that season, we took the care on. Before that, we weren't anxious about it. Amen. And whenever we're walking by faith, we're in rest. The Lord said to me one time, he said, if you war more than you worship, you're warped. Well, that went over like a lead balloon. Let me see if I can. Maybe see this side over here. Did you get that?
Yes.
If you war more than you worship, you're warped. Some people are always warring, fighting. Boom. They get up in the morning, they're finding devils everywhere. Devil there, devil there, devil there. They're out of balance.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
They're more devil conscious and problem conscious than they are God conscious and victory conscious and in Christ realities conscious. Amen. Some people are devil conscious. Some people are problem conscious. Some people are time conscious. Some people are unconscious. There's just a lot of people conscious of everything. But God's plan for us is that we be God conscious. Word conscious. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's important that we don't get out of balance and you know, we're always fighting something. God's chosen a better life for us than that. Amen. It's beneath your exalted position, raised with Christ, to always be struggling. Well, you don't understand my financial condition. Listen, I'm not talking about your financial condition. I'm talking about you struggling. You can be in circumstances and not be struggling. You can be in circumstances and be in rest and be in faith and be sleeping at night, not having to take medication to get to sleep at night. You know what I'm talking about. And just don't have a care in the world. Just don't have a care in the world. Amen. Brother Hagin said one time, this was years ago, he learned, because he said he grew up in a home of two world champion warriors. His mother and his grandmother said they're world champion warriors. And so he learned to worry. And he said when he got, you know, saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost, started walking with God, that was one of the first things God began to deal with him about, is about not worrying. And so he went to working on that, making sure he wasn't taking the care of things. And he said he got to the place he's getting pretty good at it. And his wife said one day, he said, they were walking up to the house, getting ready to go into the house. And his wife said, I don't think if me and the kids fell dead right here on the front porch that you would worry about it. And Brother Hagin said, well, of course not. It would be too late to worry then. Now that's the way to live right there. Some people say, I'm just so worried I'm going to die. Let me break it to you. You're going to die at some point. If Jesus doesn't come back, you're going to die. Yeah, but I'm just afraid to die. Let me tell you what's going to happen. You're gonna look up and there's going to be an angel, and he said, I'm ready when you are. Amen. And he's got a chariot, and he said, you ready? And you say, okay, adios, everybody, I'm out of here. And you jump on that chariot, and he says, all right, do you want to take the scenic route or the short route? You want to go see the Milky Way? You've never seen the Milky Way before. Would you like to go that way? Yeah, I'd like to see the Milky Way on the way to heaven, you know? All right. So, praise the Lord. So we're learning to not be in a battle all the time. Whenever we practice this verse. So really, how many of you know we're raised together and seated with Jesus far above these things? And it's beneath our position, our exalted position, to always be struggling. What that does is it reveals we're not aware of where we're sitting. Amen. In our seat far above that God's chosen for us. And we're not to live down in the battle. We're to live up in the victory. You know what I mean by that? There's a flow that God's chosen for you and my life that is above the flow of struggle. Amen. It's in the finished work of Christ. How many of you know he already finished the work of healing? He already finished the work of making our supply for us. According to the scriptures, he did it from the foundation of the world. He saw today and saw the needs of today and made a supply for your need today and my need today. It's already done. And we're to live with a consciousness of that finished work.
Yes.
Well, somebody said, well, I don't see it. Well, where's God? Where's God? Well, that's because he went into tomorrow. He's already working on tomorrow. That's why you're not seeing him right now. What he did for today is already in force. It's already here, and it's just waiting on your faith. He's already in the next week and next month working on that.
Amen.
Amen. We got to believe right, believe in line with the Bible. Amen.
Yes.
So I refuse to struggle. Tell your neighbor, I refuse to struggle. Or live in a labored flow of life. Praise the Lord. I have found there are some people, not everybody, but I found there are some people that they like to. Have you ever met people that when you say, hey, how you doing? They go through all their struggles. They enumerate, well, the kids have been this and, you know, the finances have been down. And they go through their litany. of all their struggles. Listen, that's a bad habit. And I found some of those people are trying to impress you with how complex and difficult the situations of their lives are, but they're also people that are very far from faith. The reason, well, why would they want to impress you? Because they like to get attention. They like to get sympathy.
Amen.
I told my congregation sometimes, I said, if you need us to sit down and talk to you, we're more than glad to do it. But I said, do you realize that when you come in and you unload all that's going on in your life, that if I wanted to, I could turn around and tell you all that's going on in my life. And you'd get tired of that real quick.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, I didn't know you had any struggles, Pastor. Exactly, because I don't talk about it all the time. Come on, hallelujah. We deal with things just like everybody else. We just say, the Lord's working, it's coming to pass. Pass the potatoes, you know. It's just like, we're not down in the worry. We're not down in the struggle. We're not down in the, what are we going to do? I don't know how we're going to get through. We're just staying up in the victory saying it'll all come to pass. It'll all come to pass. See, you hear your pastor say things like that and you think, well, they don't have any tests and trials. Listen, if you want to compare with yours, they might could outdo you. But they just don't go there. Thank God. I said, thank God. It's a mark we're growing up where we don't go through all our tests and trials every time we come to church. How you doing? Oh, yeah, laying it all out. Amen. I found it ain't worth it anyway. All these things are going to pass, and then you feel terrible for going and sounding like a, you know, sounding like a whiner all the time. Amen. I'm going to preach to this man on the front row right here. He's getting it. Amen. People who see things that come up in their life as a big deal are, people who see things that come up in their life as no big deal are more in faith than those people that are going through their litany of all their tests and trials all the time. Break the habit when somebody says how you're doing of actually telling them. Amen. What we should do when we come to church, rather than ask each other how we're doing, do like Paul did when he wrote to the Thessalonians. He said, I wrote to know your faith. I wanted to know how your faith is doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's come into church every Sunday and Wednesday and so forth and say, how's your faith doing?
Yeah.
How's your faith doing?
Yeah.
That's what really counts.
Yeah.
This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now, if our faith is doing good, guess what? We're doing good. We're doing good. Learn to do good even when things aren't looking good. Learn to shout and praise God when it doesn't look good. James 1 says, my brethren, count it all joy. I like the way James starts out. James, he said, to the 12 tribes which were scattered abroad, greeting. And then he said, brethren, count it all joy. In other words, he got right to it. He said, listen, stop whining, stop poking your lip out, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. In that church, if they were practicing what James said, when they went to church, in that church, the person that's shouting the most, they didn't look at them and say, man, they must have had a good week. The person that's shouting the most in that church, they looked at them and said, they must have had a hard week.
Yeah.
Because it says count it all joy when you encounter various tests and trials. Okay, they didn't get that on this side. Okay. When you and I encounter tests and trials, what are we supposed to do?
Count it all joy.
So the guy that comes into the church, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. We shouldn't look at him and say, they must have had a good week. We should look at him and say, they must have had a hard week. Because they're being doers of the word. They're counting it all joy. Amen. But that's not normal. That's not natural. We're not normal, natural people. We're supernatural people. We're faith people. We're people that tap into the answer rather than perpetuate the problem. and give place to the devil.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It's so easy to preach here. I don't know when we're going to quit. There's no hands on the clock. I mean, amen. Besides that, I found this, that I found the devil does not want me to enjoy my life. And if you get into this flow of heaviness and worriedness and all of that, he will hold you there till Jesus comes, and you will live your whole life not enjoying a moment of it. I refuse to do it. I came up under Dr. Dufresne. I refuse to not enjoy my life. Brother Hagin learned to enjoy his life. Dr. Dufresne, Pastor Nancy, they enjoy life, and I'm going to enjoy my life. I was with Dr. Dufresne one time. We went down to Brazil. I don't know, 7-8 of us ministers went with him. And we had preached all week, and then we're flying back, and we're between flights. We flew in one connection into an airport to catch another connection. And we're walking from one, connection to the other connection, and there were, everybody sort of had fallen asleep on the first connection, so we're all kind of waking up, and it was all quiet, nobody talking much, and Dr. Dufresne's walking just a little bit in front of us. And Dr. Dufresne purposefully tripped himself. He went like this and tripped himself. And seven preachers almost fell out trying to catch him. And he laughed so hard. he said, "I'm going to enjoy this life." That taught me something. That taught me something. Are you still here? The devil wants you not to enjoy your life. Always, be struggling and heavy. I'm going to enjoy my life. Let the devil be the one tribulating. I'm going to enjoy my life. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I've made my choice. That's the way it's going to be. Let the devil do whatever he wants, say whatever he wants. I'm going to live my life in joy. Amen. Make yourself get out of the heavy flow. Listen, I remember one time I was getting ready in the morning, and I was, combing my hair, doing all that we do. And I looked at myself, and I really looked at myself. I don't know if you mean, you can look at yourself and not look at yourself.
Yeah.
You're just looking at that hair. Where's that? And I looked in my face, and I thought, that's the saddest looking. So I stood there in the mirror, and I went. And I decided, I'm going to go. Amen. Hallelujah.
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 Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Listen, we have a spirit of faith, not the spirit of a victim. Yeah. I'm such a victim. This person left my life, and this person took all my money, and this person, this thing, and this. You're not a victim.
Come on.
Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know if I'm preaching you happy, but I've had already a good service. Now, go over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Well, I'll tell you what, for time's sake, I'll just refer to what's there. You can just write the reference down. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 6, and then verse number 11. It's basically telling us that what happened to Israel is a type of us today. And when they were in Egypt, it was a type of the world. And whenever they came out into Canaan's land, that's the type of the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Ghost and living in the good life like Canaan's land was for them. And so with that in mind, go to Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Praise the Lord. It says something that's very interesting here, Deuteronomy 11. We'll start in verse number 10. We'll read verses 10 and 11. The land, whether you go to possess it, is not as the land of Egypt. Now, that's a type of the world. God's talking to the Israelites, and he's saying, where you're going is not like it was in Egypt. From whence you came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land, whether you go to possess it, is a land of hills and valleys that drinks water of the rain of heaven. Look at that. He's contrasting the way it was for them in Egypt to the way it will be for them in Canaan's land. Now, that doesn't make much sense to us in our mind. We're not sure what he means there in verse number 10. Egypt was the land where you sowed your seed and watered it with your foot as a garden of herbs. What they had back there in Egypt, because Egypt was a dry land. They didn't get rains. And so they had to irrigate. I think you have to irrigate here. Back then, though, they didn't have, whatever, electric pumps, gas, diesel motors that are pumping the water, whatever. They just had a mechanical contraption that they had to pump with their foot to get the water out of the Nile River up into the little troughs, you know how they do it, and get the water to flow down there so that the crops would be watered. But they had to do it with a lot of labor. There was a lot of work to it. And so that's what he's talking about. And he said Canaan's land is not that way. It is a type of the difference between the way it was for us out in the world and the way it is for us as believers. You following me? And so Canaan's land, like I said, is a type of the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he said, this land that we're living in is a land that drinks water of the rain of heaven. And it's a type of being delivered from that old tyrant, the devil, and from the hard slave labor to get anything done or to make crops grow or anything like that. Am I making any sense? In our new position in Christ, it's not the labored flow that it used to be out in the world. Our new inherited land drinks water of the rain of heaven. You following me? It's a type of the blessings of God without the labor to make prosperity happen. Amen? In other words, it's blessing through His power. It's blessing through His word. It's blessing through faith. I'm not saying don't work a job. I'm saying there's help for us. And it's an easy flow for us. And what others struggle, I know people, I'm thinking of a man that I met one time. Well, actually, we were going to use him to build our house. And I just lost all peace about it because of his mouth. He's a Christian man. He ought to be, because of the industry he's in, building houses, he ought to be prospering and doing great. But they are always struggling. Two people there in the town, they don't go to our church, but they're just always struggling financially. They should be close to millionaires or something. But they're always struggling. And I found out why, because when we went to talk to them about building our house, everything was negative. We talk about, we want to do this. Well, that's going to cost a lot of money. I don't know if you want to do that. You talk about, that's going to be hard. You don't want to do that. Everything was hard and a struggle and too much money and just bad mouthing everything. Yeah. It wasn't a half hour into that. I said, check, you're off my list.
Yeah.
I'm talking about for using him to build the house. Amen. And the reason it was so hard is that he was in the old flow of the world where everything's hard. Amen. I know this really hits people sometimes. They're like, but see, we've got to get out of the flow we were in Egypt. Am I making sense? Israel was delivered from Egypt, and it was a new day for them. But how many of you know, even over in Israel, they didn't get their mouth turned around. What turned out to be Israel, it was Canaan's land. But they didn't get their mouth turned around. And they didn't get their thinking, their mind renewed, and things over even in Israel was hard for some of them. Amen? They weren't slaves anymore. They didn't have a Pharaoh whipping them and beating them and making them make bricks without straw and all of that. They didn't have all that, but they still had the hard flow in their thinking. Amen. They were still in bondage in their thinking. They came out, but their thinking didn't come out. Amen. And so it was a hard labored flow, even though they were out of the land. They were not, Satan, really Pharaoh's a type of Satan. Pharaoh no longer had any more authority over them. In fact, they drowned in the Red Sea. I'm talking about Pharaoh and all his armies drowned in the Red Sea. So although they came out, they had to get into a new way of thinking. That old way of thinking that had been ingrained into them for 400 years of slavery's bondage, it doesn't come out real quick sometimes. Yeah. You've got to work at renewing the mind to get out of the flow of a hard way of, everything's hard in your thinking. Amen. The jail cell was open, so to speak, but they continued to sit in the jail cell of bondage and hardness. So that first generation, they came out, but they still had that hard flow in them. And when they met, they sent the spies into Canaan's land, and they saw the iron chariots, the walled cities, and the giants. They came back complaining and say, "We can't. It's just too hard. It's just too hard." See, they got out of Egypt, but they still had the hardness in their thinking.
Yeah.
Let's get the hardness out of our thinking. What do you say?
Amen.
Amen. So to enter into this easy flow, we've got to renew our minds. We've got to get our minds renewed to the fact that it's easy, and if it's hard, we're just doing it wrong. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just because it's been that way in the past doesn't mean that's the way God's flow is. We're learning to get out of that hardness. Here's one that's a lot of people have struggled saying, money comes easy. Amen. All those amens make me want to just preach that again. The devil wants us to take a hardness into our minds about it's just so hard to get money to come in, just so hard to get ahead, it's just so hard. Well, is that in line with the Bible?
No, it's not.
Huh? The Bible says in Romans 8:32 that God gives us freely and richly all things. Wow. That means without hardness. I know in my mind at times I've had you know, the thought, well, it just seems like it's hard to get God to do something. You've never thought that. I mean, just me, you know. Just hard to get to God. Well, that hardness is the reason that it's not working. Amen. 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 Really, God has already given us the authority over the money. He's actually already given it to us. Huh? Come on. And he's given us the right to make our claim on it, and that's not hard. Amen. You remember the vision Dr. Dufresne had? He had years ago, a vision of he seeing a dry riverbed and a ship sitting out there, and they were rowing, and dust was coming up, and they were singing, and it sounded real terrible. Remember him saying that? And then the Lord picked him up, he said, like he's on a cherry picker, and took him over to another river where there was a flow of water, and there was a boat floating down that flow of water, and they weren't even rowing. They were just praising God, and the flow was carrying them. You know what that is? That flow of the water is this era. That's this era. And what he's saying about this era, God's telling us about this era, is it's an easy flow. They didn't even have to row. Amen? They were just moving with the flow. Let me tell you something. God's plan has never been for us to have to labor to get anything to happen. Amen. If you want to go somewhere, get in the flow that takes you there.
Amen.
That makes sense?
Yes.
Some of you are looking at me like you're not sure what I'm talking about tonight. But you ever seen hot air balloons out here? You could probably have hot air balloons, maybe even more here than what we have in Iowa. We see them sometimes. But if a hot air balloon on the ground, there might be a flow of air maybe going this way. But let's say the guy in the hot air balloon wants to go that way. All he has to do is find the elevation to where there is a flow of air going that way. Because they'll tell you in the Weather Channel or whatever that there's ground surface air, and then there's a jet stream up here or 1,000 feet up, which is not the jet stream, but 1,000 feet up, there might be a flow of air going a different direction. And so to go somewhere in a hot air balloon, which doesn't have a propeller, you got to just flow with the air. So if you want to get into a flow and you want to go somewhere, just get in the flow that will take you there. Does that make sense? So if you want to flow in prosperity, get in the flow that will take you there, which is not the hard flow. It's not the work flow. I'm not saying don't work. You understand. But it's the flow. You can do all of that and still not be getting ahead financially. Get in the flow that takes you there. That means the flow of faith. Not the struggle flow, not the hard, but not coming home saying, it just seems so hard. I mean, if it's not one thing, it's the other. I mean, I get a bonus and the refrigerator goes out, or I get a bonus and the tires go flattened. Just so hard to get ahead. That's not the flow that takes you there. My wife and I are building a house, and there's a lot of extra zeros on the bills that come in. You know what I'm talking about? Every time, I guarantee you, every time, we look at that and say, we have a supply, write the check. I'm not talking about writing hot checks either. I'm talking about we have a supply. You'll never hear us saying, boy, it's just so hard building houses. I mean, they're expensive. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Some people reject what I'm talking about because it just sounds too good to be true. Let me say something about religion. Can I just go ahead and shuck the corn? Religion is what people have lived in for so long. What I'm preaching doesn't sound like reality. But I'm just preaching what Jesus said, right? Religion always talks, it makes things hard. You ever notice they make you crawl on your knees on glass or do something hard? Isn't that right? Don't get mad at me. It's the truth. Amen, brother. Come on, tell me. Everything's a struggle. Everything's hard. That's religion. That's not Jesus. That's not Matthew 28. I mean, excuse me, Matthew 11, 28. That's Jesus. The easy flow. Amen. And so it sounds too good to be true sometimes because their own flesh and their own unrenewed mind is, and the religion that they've lived in the past, maybe they're coming out of it, but the religions of the past, it's always been a struggle. You know, it's hard to get God to do anything and so forth and so on. And that's the only thing they've known all their life. But we're not to get our doctrine out of religion. We're not to get our doctrine out of our experience. But I've never experienced an easy flow of finances. That doesn't matter. For years, I didn't receive or experience the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean it wasn't right there for me to lay hold of. Amen? It's right there. It's right there. A lot of it has to do with getting our thinking out of the hard flow. Thank God for we're learning tonight. So go back to Matthew 11. Jesus said, let's look at some things he said to help us get into this flow here. Matthew 11 tells us, starting in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Then he said in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Notice the two things that we see already. Come, number one, and learn, number two. In other words, we don't know this because we got born again. You and I can get born again. In fact, I did. I don't know about you, but I did get born again and stayed in the hard flow. I saved, but everything's a struggle. Amen. And so Jesus is saying here, in order to get into this flow, there's two things here we got to do. Come to him and learn. In other words, learn this easy flow. How many of you know everything's easier when we learn how to do it? I can look at a guy programming computers, and I don't know what you're doing there. I mean, and he could say, you do it, and I just mess it all up, right? Because I don't know how to do it. And to me, it's hard. But as soon as he teaches me and I learn, oh, that's easy. And all of a sudden, it becomes easy. Same things with spiritual things. We can learn the flow of faith, the easy flow, the flow of rest, the carefree life. We can learn all that and renew our minds to it. And it becomes easy. What was once hard, hardness a lot of times is just a lack of knowledge. And what once we get knowledge, what was hard becomes easy. I'll use this illustration. The more illustrations we give, I think people understand what we're talking about. Guys, maybe you guys can identify. I'll speak for myself. I won't put it off on you. if I'm needing something out in the garage sometimes, I don't know why. I just don't like to turn a light on. Not just. I know where I'm going. I know where it is. And I know I just go out there and I'll just grab it and get it off the shelf and I'll come back in. And so I go out there. I don't have the light on. Maybe it's dark outside. No light coming through the windows. And I go out in the garage and I look for, let's say it's a tool or something. and I know right where it is. And I know I got to step around the lawnmower, and I got to step over here. I know exactly where it all is. I know where the shelf is. Hey, brother, are you with me? Come on, man. And I'm going to get it. I'm going to, and it's right there. I'll just grab it, and I'll come right back in. Except you go to go around the lawnmower, and you run into the lawnmower rather than be it over here. It was supposed to be over here, and you thought you were going around it, and now the lawnmower's over here. And you stump your toe on the lawnmower. And you're like, why is the lawnmower over here? And so you find, and then the lawnmower goes somewhere else, and you get, well, I stumped my toe here. Where is it? You know, and you're getting confused. The further you go, the more confused you're getting.
Right. Yeah.
And what would have been easy if you'd have turned the light on,
Yes. Now
is all hard.
Yeah.
I mean, you're stumping your toe, and you're trying to go around something, and you're bumping into things, and you guys know what I'm talking about. What would have been easy now is hard. Why? No light. No light. Or there's light there, but I didn't want to turn it on. Amen? Well, that's just the same way with light of the things of the Word. There are many things that have gotten easier in my life the more light I get. Many things that have gotten a lot easier because I've gotten more light. I talked to Pastor Nancy about the transition we had between phase one and phase two of our ministry, and we're now going from phase two into phase three. And I talked to her about how much of a struggle it was from phase one. She was preaching in our church one time some things, not exactly like what I'm preaching, but similar things. And I was telling her, I was sitting there listening to her, and I thought, all that struggle between phase one and phase two, and it was 2 years of struggle. Not because God put it on me, just because I made it hard. My thinking was all messed up about what's happening.
Yeah.
And I sat there when Pastor Nancy's preaching, and I started, tears started coming down my eyes. I said, the next time from phase two to phase three, it's not going to be that hard.
Yeah.
I made it hard. And I told her later, I made it hard because my thinking was all wrong.
Yeah.
You know. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I just sat there and wept. I said, it's not going to be a struggle. Because, you know, after going through that, you're like, oh, when phase two is over, you know. But it didn't have to be that way. God has not sentenced us to hardness for 1 minute. Well, don't we have tests and trials, Pastor? Yeah. You want me to tell you all mine? I'm not going to do that. It's not my point. I'm just simply saying, yes. The devil, faith doesn't mean you don't have tests or trials. Faith just means you don't struggle. You don't get burdened with them. You keep the care on the Lord, and you practice the Word, and let the devil do the tribulating.
Yeah.
Amen. Ha, ha, ha. While we sing praises to God, and while we keep the victory, and while we're doing that, it releases the power of God to get us through the situation. And here we are rejoicing all the way through it and counting it all joy. And people think we don't have any tests or trials. Well, that's just because we're doing the Word. And we're not down in the heaviness of the test and the trial. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's get good at doing this thing called faith. What do you say?
Yes.
Let's get good at doing it. Hallelujah. Now go over to Jeremiah 23. We'll begin to commence to think about starting to wrap it up with this. There's a verse here that the Lord showed me years ago that has come to my heart again here concerning this tonight. Jeremiah chapter number 23. Hallelujah. Tonight I might be just preparing the soil for this truth, but God's going to take this and water this and make this thing begin to grow in your life. This might be sort of some new thoughts to you, but let it begin to get in the inside of you. And don't discount it because it sounds, I don't know, too good to be true or something. You understand that we're not saying we don't have things oppose us. We're not saying the devil's dead. We're not saying nothing comes against us. We're not saying we don't get attacked. We're just simply saying we don't struggle in those times. Amen. Jeremiah 23, let's look at verse number 33. It's saying, starting in verse 33, I'll tell you what, I'm going to read the Amplified. That'll just save some time. The King James is good, but the Amplified makes it so clear. I'm going to read Jeremiah 23:33 in the Amplified. When these people or a prophet or a priest ask you, what is the burden of the Lord, the thing to be lifted up now, then you shall say to them, what burden? Indeed, you are the burden. And I will disburden myself of you and will cast you off, says the Lord. Yikes. Now, here's what has happened. If you read the whole context, you can get this real clear. They were going to the prophet or whoever, because you remember that there's only certain people who had the Holy Spirit in that day. They were going to the prophet or to the priest, and they were saying, what's the Lord saying? Except they turned it from, they didn't ask anymore, what's the Lord saying? They would go and say, what is the burden of the Lord? And they started calling the Word of God, the thing that God was saying for them to do, they started calling it a burden. And God wasn't happy about that. He's saying, you are the burden. He's saying, I'm going to disburden myself of you. I mean, he didn't like that term. Let's go down to verse 36 here. I'm in the Amplified again. But the burden of the Lord you must mention no more. In other words, that term. For every man's burden is his own response and word. For as they mockingly call all prophecies burdens, whether good or bad, so will it prove to be to them. God will take them at their own word. For you pervert the words not of a lifeless idol, but of the living God, the Lord of hosts, our God. Oh, my goodness. He's saying, when you take what I say and call it a burden, he said, you're perverting it. Does that hit you like that hits me? And that's exactly what we're saying tonight. When people say, when they hear about tithing and they say, oh my goodness, they're putting a burden on us. They're perverting the Word of God. They're taking what God gave us to bless us, twisting it and calling it a heavy burden. And God said he didn't like that at all. Can you see what he's talking about? And then he said, whenever, look at verse number 36 again, what I just read in the Amplified. The burden of the Lord must you mention no more. For every man's burden is his own response and word. In other words, what he's saying is, the way we respond to his word, if we respond this way, this and call it heavy, call it a burden, and call it hard, and you know, they put such a burden on us down there at the church, they ask us to be involved in helps ministry, and you know, it takes a lot of our time, and we don't have family time, and so forth and so on. He said, what is making it hard is your response. That's what he said in the Amplified.
That's good.
Look at what he said. Look. For every man's burden is his own response and word. How many of you know we can respond to things two different ways?
Yes.
Everything God says, we can look at and go, oh, and groan.
Yeah.
I want you to be involved in helps ministry. Well, bless God, I don't even have time for my kids. And they're asking us, you know. Or we can say, oh, I see God's plan for my life. I delight to do the will of God. And if I sow my seed towards the church, God will make sure I've got time for my family. That's a renewed mind, and that's a faith response, and that gets you in the easy flow. And all of a sudden, God's word starts working. Because we responded right. You know, we can come down here and do helps ministry and do it out of a burdened response to God, or we can do it as a delight.
A delight, that's right.
Let's live delightful. What do you say? Let's live delighted to do His will. Remember the Bible said, the psalmist said, I delight to do Thy will, O God.
Yeah.
Let's live in that flow, and let's be delightful rather than everything's a burden, everything's heavy. Amen.
Amen.
Can you see that?
Oh, yes.
How many of you can see why some people don't have any friends, too? How are you doing? Oh, it's terrible. And then they make us do helps ministry. And they're like, bye-bye. Have a good day. We're going out to eat, but we were going to invite you. But Amen. There are people in my church that I don't ask how they're doing because they're going to tell me. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. I just say, good to see you. Because it is. They need to be in church. It's good to see you in church. Amen. Amen. That's strong words, but I want you to see that God doesn't like us taking things that He says to bless us as a burden. It's our response that makes it a burden. The Bible said in 1 John 5:3, His commandments are not grievous, didn't He? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We shouldn't respond like a victim when He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Or like a victim when He says, come serve in Helps ministry. Amen. He's saying these things to bless us. I know the families in my church that practice, like for example, Helps ministry, and they delight in it. I got one family I'm thinking of right now. I ask them all the time, I said, where's your bed? You must sleep here, because every time I'm here, you're here. I mean, I find you working, doing something. Where'd you put your bed? Are you hiding a bed back there? You just sleep here at night? And they said, no. And they said, we just love being here, and we love serving. They have the least problems of the whole church. Oh, that's not a burden. Whenever you put first the kingdom of God, and He's adding all these things to them, that's not a burden. When you got that kind of power working for you, no, that's not a burden to serve in Helps ministry. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything out of the Word tonight?
Yes.
Praise God for the Word. Amen. I'm not going to live in a battle all the time. How about you? When God deals with me, I'm going to say, I delight to do thy will, O God. Praise God. I remember the first year of our traveling ministry, we pastor now, are getting back into a traveling ministry, but before we pastored, before we started pastoring, we traveled in ministry for 6 years full-time all over the United States and Canada. And the first year, because we were helping in healing school, and they were having us teach whole weeks of time in the morning classes, and then every Friday afternoon, the minister that preached all week in the afternoon classes, he preached Monday through Thursday. And then oftentimes, he would take off after classes on Monday morning, and I'm talking about the Bible school classes. Healing school was right after that. And rather than come to healing school and preach in the Friday afternoon services, he'd take off, catch a plane, go preach out in the weekend somewhere. And so they oftentimes asked someone else to do it. And we ended up doing it. And then they just had us in there all the time. They didn't even rotate other people. They just had my wife and I doing it on Friday afternoons. And so I'll never forget, after a few years of doing that, we began to get a lot of invitations on the road. And we were traveling full time more and more. And we weren't getting back into healing school as much, which I loved healing school. I wanted to get back a lot, but just wasn't working out because of all the traveling. And I'll never forget it. When the time came that for us to actually step out of healing school to go full, because we knew it was the plan of God to step into the full-time traveling ministry. When we began to do that, the first year that we did that, it was a struggle financially. And I'll never forget, at the end of that year, of course, it was Christmas time, had a break for a couple of weeks, and then the first few days of January, we got in the car and took off again to go travel and preach. We were out of town for 3 months at a time sometimes, just driving in the car. I remember distinctly one time leaving town and coming home, and we came home real late. It was like 3 months later. We came home real late at night one time. And I'll never forget driving past our exit and thinking, that car dealership wasn't there when we left. You know, it's kind of, we've been gone a long time. I mean, they built a car dealership while we were gone. But that's how we did. We'd just go and go and go and wouldn't come home for 3 months. But anyway, I'm saying that to say that first year was a struggle financially. And after Christmas break and then getting back on the road the first few days of January of the next year, I'm driving down the road to leave Tulsa to go on this first trip. And I wouldn't have told you this before the Lord spoke to me, but I was grumpy. You've never done that, but I'm real grumpy. And the Lord spoke up, and I'm driving. My wife's sleeping, and I'm driving, and I'm sitting there grumpy, just kind of irritated. And the Lord said, you're angry at me. He spoke up in my heart, and He said, you're angry at me. I said, Lord, you're right. And He wasn't done with me yet. He said, you think I took you down a notch, don't you? I said, and I started to cry. And He said, you thought Because in healing school, everybody knew you, and everybody, you know, was recognizing you, or starting to get a name. And then I took you from that into traveling ministry. You think I knocked you down a notch, don't you? I started crying. And he wasn't done with me. He said, you're unwilling. He said, that first whole year you were unwilling. You wanted to be back in healing school the whole time. You're unwilling to be out on the road. You're complaining about it, and your wife's getting irritated at it because you're always coming back into the hotel complaining after the service. And he's just on me. He said, and that's the reason it was such a struggle for you financially that first year. I wept and I wept. I said, God, you're right. Now, a few seconds before that, I wouldn't have told you I was grumpy about that. Yeah. But boy, he knows how to hit the nail on the head, doesn't he? And he put the hammer right on the nail and hit it square. And I'm like, ouch, it's ugly, but it's me. You ever had to do that? You ever had the Lord hold up a mirror and you look and you go, "Ee, that's ugly, but that's me. I don't like that. I don't like what I see." And he dealt with me about it. I said, "Lord, I repent. I repent. I see exactly what you're talking about." And I said, "What do you want me to do?" And he said, "You holler." My wife's sleeping. "You holler here in the car right now at the top of your voice." He said, "You holler and you say it three times. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." I'm like, right now? My wife's sleeping. And I just knew I had to. So I started at the top of my voice, "I delight to do thy will, O God." Yea, I woke her up. I said it three times. "I delight to do thy will, O God. I delight to..." And whenever that third time, whenever I said it, something changed down in here. That unwillingness that had gotten into my spirit, just by making that adjustment and speaking that out of my mouth, everything inside just went click. And I knew I had just become willing, and I was going to do this year. I was going to do it with joy and not a groan and not a grumble and not a complain. And I was going to thank God for the honor of being called to the traveling ministry. And I delight to do your will and all that. And, of course, I had to keep saying that. Sometimes they try to get back on you, you know. So I kept saying it. Lord, I delight to do that. I delight. The will of God is my home. I delight. Pastor Nancy taught us further on that. And so I learned to do that. And that next year, the finances changed totally. Amen. So it wasn't a burden that the Lord had called us to. It was something he was trying to bless us through. Amen.